His face did shine as the sun. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the desert this Lent, we catch a glimpse of the glory of the risen Christ. Gazing in the dark faith of prayer here below, on high, upon his holy face, praying one day ourselves to be transfigured into his likeness. Saint Teresa always kept the transfiguration as a special feast of the holy face. She learned about this devotion, which had grown very popular in the second half of the 19th century, especially in France, from her older sister, who taught her when she was just a girl about the miraculous Veronica's veil. Her uncle donated a copy, the same as we have there under St. Teresa's picture. He donated a copy to the cathedral and provided a votive candle to burn before it in perpetuity. The same image was enthroned by the foundress of the Carmelite convent, Mother Genevieve. And so when she entered, Teresa found it there waiting for her. But what drew Teresa personally to this devotion, which we too love and have tried to practice at our church for many years? Of all things, its impetus was her father's stroke and mental illness. After the months, 10 months of trial period in the convent, they call that the postulancy, she asked, according to the Carmelite custom, to be named not only Sister Teresa of the Holy Child Jesus, but also and of the Holy Face. You see, those 10 months, her first in the cloister, were a time for her of sorrow as well as joy. She had left her father and her family. Her father had had that stroke and was slowly sliding into the mental illness that would take him eventually to the hospital. And then she had the joy too, but also the sorrow, although all of those new sisters waiting for her in the monastery. She grasped personally the meaning of the holy face as she read about it in her prayer book, The Breviary, the Church's Divine Office. She read in Holy Week Isaiah's prophecy, what we sing each year at our Tenebrae, one of the first responsories of Holy Thursday, called the Ecce Vidimus Eum. A loose translation would be, and this struck her, look, we've seen him having no beauty or comeliness. There's nothing to look at in him. This in turn enabled her to understand at age 16, when she was a nun already, a frightening and prophetic vision that had come to her as a six-year-old girl. One day she looked out the window and she saw in the garden walking a figure of a man that looked like her father, wearing the same clothes. But his face was covered with a veil. She screamed. Her sisters came. They looked outside. They found no one. She always remembered what she had seen. It was, in effect, a prophecy of what would happen to her beloved papa. The face of the person she loved most on earth would be forever deprived of the light of reason and would become frightful, fixed in a kind of a mask of living death, the face of someone who no longer knows we're there. Absence. In her own spiritual life, she knew God was there, but she no longer perceived him or felt any comfort from her prayer. God had seemingly, we saw this last Sunday, turned away from her. But she turned instinctively to him. Although she felt no consolation in his holy face, the words of the hymn, "The sacred head, so wounded, reviled, and put to shame," spoke to her. Isaiah's prophecy. Here is one who is despised and rejected. How should we recognize that face? Teresa says that these words were the basis of her whole devotion to the holy face of our Lord. "I too," she said before she died, "I too wanted to be without beauty or comeliness. I wanted to be alone, to tread the grapes, unknown to all creatures." So she carried around with her in her prayer book the holy card of the holy face. And at her meditation, remember the nuns meditated 2 hours a day, she propped it up in front of her in the chapel. And when she was sick, that long illness before her death, she pinned it to the curtain over her bed, constantly studying the picture of Christ's face, which gave her the strength to bear the pain with Christ-like love. And more, for her, the holy face was that. It was the eloquent expression of the love of Jesus for all of us. This is what she contemplated. This is how she was able to be strong. But it was the suffering and the humiliation of the holy face. Beaten, you see it in the picture, the miraculous veil of Veronica, bloody, pierced by thorns, slapped, struck, stained with the soldier's spittle and the mud. And all of this for love that won her, that drew her to God. And that made her understand what was going on in her life. The holy face, this Sunday, this Lent, how could you connect your life with Christ and his passion? And how could you connect the life of the church today with Christ and his passion? 31 years ago, tomorrow, in Munich, in Germany, an aged Vietnamese bishop who was an impoverished exile, he had lost everything except his mind and his faith, a man whose memory today is still despised, dismissed as a senile or crazy old man, Archbishop Tuck issued in Latin a declaration of what we would call the Sede Vacante, that there is no true pope in Rome, that the modern church and the modern pope are simply not Catholic. In this declaration, in its opening line, he used, perhaps unconsciously, the same word you see in the Latin of Isaiah's prophecy in our Tenebrae text, aspectus in eo non est. The loose translation of his opening would be, how do we see the church today? He pointed out in a few brief words how the church today has no beauty. There's nothing to see there, just the spittle and the mud and the blood, the face of the mystical Christ, I mean, his body, which is his church, disfigured by, most of you could name the litany, modernism and false ecumenism, the worship of man, religious liberty and heresy, and of course, a false mass and sacraments. And then we have to add today every frightful and headline-grabbing scandal. That's there too, on his face. The Church of Christ is hidden behind all of that. And the facade people see is false. It's not the Catholic Church at all. Our fidelity to the hidden Christ brings us a share in his shame. Sede vacante? Well, in a few days everyone will be. But then after they have their election next month in Rome, why then, of course not. But if you still hold to that logical conclusion, why, you're as mad as poor Mr. Martin in the Hospital of Good Savior in Normandy. People will think you're crazy. No respectable person. Listen, today, trads, like everyone else, go along to get along. We won't. We don't. We never will. Not until Christ's face in the church by faith again shines, transfigured, restored with the glorious Son of Divinity. When Pauline first taught little Thérèse about the Holy Face devotion, she told her, "This has to encourage you in humility to remain well hidden. You have to become a Veronica." That means a soul that wipes the face of Jesus and gives him comfort. But it also means, from the very word, which is Latin and Greek, you have to become a true image, a vera icona of Christ. Of Christ as we see him now. You stick with him, and don't worry about it, you will be. Carry his holy face with you. Contemplate him and find comfort there. Find strength there in his hiddenness and in his sorrow and in his shame, so that one day transfigured, you may claim the glorious face of Christ as your own. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, amen.